worship just so sweet this morning? You know, sometimes worship makes you want to jump through the roof, right? You just get so excited, and other times it's just so sweet, and God's presence was so sweet. Those times you just kind of just want to hang out there. You don't ever want to go. And there's no reason to really ever leave that place. It's only in our minds, though. Did we forget something?
Excuse me, brother.
Yes.
May I have one more moment?
You
have
No,
stay right here. Stay right here.
Gifts, which is just a normal way to celebrate, right? We give gifts. Of course, the greatest gift ever given is what we're actually celebrating, which is God giving his son for the world. But you know what's really cool is that even though it's the greatest gift, and in that is contained every other gift, God's a giver. He loves to give gifts. And we're going to talk about that a little this morning. I want to talk some about spiritual gifts this morning. The title of my message is Use Your Gift. Because a lot of times, you know, Scripture does say we're not to be ignorant about the gifts. There's a lot of ignorance about the gifts. But the gifts are more than just head knowledge. When it says don't be ignorant, it's not saying learn a lot of facts about the gifts. The point of learning about the gifts is so that you start using the gifts, so that you know what God has done in you and what he's deposited in you, and you start using it to serve others. So with that, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. That's where we're going to start. We're going to bounce all over the place, if that's okay with you. We believe in the Bible here, which means we use the Bible. Amen. Someone agrees with me out there. I'm going to read a short little couple of verses here from 1 Peter 10, or 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 10. It says this: As each, everyone say each. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for what you're saying and what you're going to say. I thank you for opening every heart and every ear to hear what you have to say. Thank you for helping me to speak as I ought to speak and no more. And Lord, we just want your word to be at work in us and transform us and change us, God. That's why we're here today, God, to meet with you and to be transformed in your presence. And we trust you to do that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to kind of work through this passage a little bit and think about the various things that it says. And the first thing I need you to know, and that God wants you to know from this passage, is you have a gift. Right. It starts out by saying, as each has received a gift, or as each one has received a gift. Do you know that you have received a gift?
Yes.
If you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have a gift.
Amen.
Amen. Earl, you've got a gift.
Yeah. Amen.
Trish, you've got a gift.
Amen.
How many names can I remember? George, you've got a gift, brother. George raised his hand. He's like, don't forget me. Amen. I mean, I could go around the room, but the truth is, if the Spirit of God is in you, he's put something, he's deposited something in you that he wants to use in your life. The truth is, the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts or just gifts, however you want to talk about it, It's part of the package of salvation. When God forgives your sin, makes you a part of his family, gives you eternal life, part of that whole process is that he deposits something in you that he wants you to use to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to the world. When the Holy Spirit came to live in you, he came bearing gifts.
Amen.
Amen. Don't we do that when we go to someone's house? You bring a little something just to say, hey, you know, here you go. Well, when the Holy Spirit moved in, he said, I got some things for you.
Yeah.
Just brought them in his hand, and a lot of times it's there wrapped. We don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And part of the process of growing and maturing in Christ is discovering, unwrapping that gift and figuring out what he's done in us and how to use it. Amen. You may not know what your gift is. I'm betting some of you do. But for those of you who don't, just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean you don't have one. Just because you haven't unwrapped it yet doesn't mean it's not there under the tree, so to speak. Amen? It's yours. It's got your name on it. Let's turn to a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Just to kind of draw this point out a little bit, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So to who?
Each.
To 80% of the church. Each one means you go one by one by one by one by one, and each one has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now that word, I love that word manifestation, because all it means is to make known, to make visible, to make clear. So when it's talking about the manifestation of the Spirit, it's saying to each person, you've been given a specific way where you make God's presence and power very clear.
Amen.
Each one has the privilege, and it's different.
Yeah.
It's not one way. But God wants each one of us to declare the power and the glory and the presence of God. This comes in 1 Corinthians 12, a couple chapters later. The Apostle Paul is talking about the gift of prophecy. He says, in particular, prophecy has this way of making people fall on their face and say, truly, God is in your midst. That's what the gifts are for. That's what these are for, to manifest the presence of God so that people go, God is here. You ever had someone use their gift and it was such a blessing to you that you went, man, God's real? That was the manifestation of the Spirit working through someone else in your life. Because you needed God in that moment. You needed a confirmation, or you needed encouragement, or maybe a rebuke. Or something else. Whatever it is you needed through someone else, God manifests himself. And you go, that was exactly what I needed. Thank you, God. And that has been given to each one. It's not just for a few people. It's for everyone. Ephesians 4. If you want to flip over there. We got stuff going on all over the place. Ephesians 4. Now I got to get there. I should be the first one there. But Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 8 says this. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Grace was given to each one of us. We're going to talk about this in just a minute, but there's a connection between the word for gift or spiritual gift, which in the Greek is charisma or charisma, and the word for grace, which is charis. They're related words. The idea of grace, that these gifts are not something other than God's grace. It's just God's grace on your life in a special and powerful and profound way. So when he says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, this is talking about these gifts, these abilities, these things you have that God's put in you to be a blessing to others. One more place we're going to go, Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 3 through 6. It's a little bit longer passage. Romans 12, 3 through 6. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We could preach there for a while. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. So the first thing he says in that passage, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It does not say, think very lowly of yourself. That's not what it says. It just says, don't have an inflated view of yourself. Right? But think with sober judgment. In other words, based on the truth, based on what's real, that's how we ought to think of ourselves. And then he immediately goes on to say, you know, you have something to contribute. Just like everybody else. That's the sober judgment to go, I fill a place in the body of Christ that you don't. You fill a place that I don't. I need you, you need me. That's sober judgment. That's thinking as we ought to think. See, when the reality is when you get to know what your gift is, you walk into a room, you walk into a church service, you walk into a situation, and you just kind of know how God uses you. And so you can just listen and watch and pray and see what God's going to do. You know, you might, if you operate in the gift of prophecy and you go into a situation and someone needs healing, you might be kind of hanging back a little bit while the people who have gifts of healing are laying hands on and you're going to join them. But then when somebody really needs a word from the Lord, now you're the one who gets to step up. And see, when we know our place, when we know what God has put into us, we have freedom to operate. First of all, we don't walk in going, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm doing here. Because you know, you've got your job description. How would your boss feel if every day you walked in and go, what am I supposed to do? Eventually, he'd say, go look at your job description or your job title. And that's kind of what God wants to get the church to, amen, to where we know what our job is in the church. It is this and it isn't this. Yeah. I'm not called to do everything, but what I'm called to do, I'm going to do. Right. And I'm going to expect you to do the stuff that I'm not called to do. Yeah. Otherwise, I got to do it. Yeah. That's part of what serving is you just do what needs to be done. But sometimes in the church, and this is a reality of it, sometimes there's a lot of people who just don't step up and do it, and so other people got to step up and do the stuff that you were meant to do. Right. The reality is your gift, as I said, it's related to the word grace. Your gift is simply the grace of God poured out on you in a special and a particular way. What I love here in back in 1 Peter, he says, as good stewards of God's varied grace, or different versions say things like the manifold grace of God. NIV says God's grace in various forms. The reality is God's grace expresses itself in so many unique and creative ways. There's not just one way. And so when he says the gifts are God revealing his grace in our lives and all these multifaceted, unique, creative ways, and he does that through each one of us. Your gift is one of those varieties. You know, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." He's giving this picture of this is what church should be.
Right.
When you come together, that's a church service, right? When you gather together, each one has one little piece of the worship.
Sure.
And he's not saying all of those pieces have to be prepared beforehand. Sometimes they're spontaneous. But he's also not saying that they can't be prepared beforehand. Right? So the worship team spends a lot of time practicing and getting their songs ready. That's them using their gift. Amen? The preacher comes usually prepared. But we don't tell you when we're not prepared. So sometimes you come, even things like prophetic words, I've seen times where it happened where someone said, "I had a dream last night." And they woke up and they wrote it down, and that was a word for somebody. It didn't happen right in the moment. It didn't have to be immediately spontaneous. Sometimes, you know, I love, you read through the prophets, a lot of times that's what will happen. They'll have a dream, and in the dream God says, "When you wake up, I want you to go to this place, and when you get to that place and you see this person, you're going to say this." And for us charismaniacs, that doesn't seem spontaneous enough. That wasn't. But, I mean, what if God woke you up and you went, "Okay, I'll eat a little breakfast and get dressed and everything, and then I'll head over to that place," and I get there, "Oh, there's that person. Hey, you, come here. God said something to you." And it doesn't feel spontaneous, but so what? God does it however he wants. Sometimes it hits you right there, and you got to speak right there. But we don't want to get hung up on all these things, on all the details of how, because God's kind of more creative than you and I are. And we get locked into these patterns where we think God's got to do it this way. Second point I want to make from this passage, and I actually got this from my good friend Matt Crandall over there. Your gift is not for you. I hear Matt say this all the time. It's not for you. Second part of 1 Peter 4 again, he says, "As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So God has given each of you a gift, but why did he give it to you? To serve other people. And this is another area we get tripped up. We forget. We're seeking to understand and to move in the gift because we're looking for a blessing. It ain't for you. Someone else's gift is there to bless you, but yours is there to bless others. It's not about you. It's not to make you feel good, to meet your needs, or to make you seem important. Your gift enables you to be a tremendous blessing to others. That's what your gift, when you work in your gift, man, other people are blessed. Your gift enables you to supernaturally meet the needs of others. Sometimes you get some word or some inclination or some impression, or you just feel led to pray, and you don't even realize how profound that little obedience, act of obedience, is until afterward. Have you ever done that? "I just feel like God sent me to pray for you," and you pray for someone, they start weeping.
Yeah.
And you're like, "I don't even know what's going on. I'm just here to pray for you." And you find out, like, what you just prayed, that's what I've been going through, and I needed that. God wants to use you to be such a blessing. in the life of others. Pastor was just saying that. We ought to be the people that when we show up, people know something good's coming. I don't know what, but something good's coming. And when we're operating in our gift, you become a blessing. When you use your gift, the body of Christ is built up and strengthened. And the body of Christ needs to be built up and strengthened. Conversely, the body of Christ misses out when you don't use your gift. You know, the reality is, as I said, you're a steward of your gift. That's what 1 Peter says. We are to use our gift to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You know what a steward is? Not a stewardess. A steward is someone who manages the property of another person. So if you're a good steward, or if you're a steward of the gift that God put in you, what it's saying is that gift isn't yours. It's his. And he's entrusting it to you so that you'll use it the way he wants. It's a really great place to say amen. Because that, thank you. It's too late now. You can't go back. But that's what it is. When the Holy Spirit came and moved in, he gave you a gift. But the gift wasn't for you. The gift was for you to use for other people. And he wants you to use that gift according to how he would use it. The gifts in you come from God, not yourself. He is loaning them to you, in a sense. And because of that, and I want everyone to turn here, 1 Timothy 4:14. So we need to be aware of this fact, that it's possible to neglect your gift. Sure. It's been given, it's there, but you can neglect it. Listen to what Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, the man whom he said, I have no one like him. It's his disciple, but he's more than a disciple. He's a son. I mean, this is the guy for Paul. This is the one that he poured his life into, and he goes, and he really got it. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says this to his son Timothy, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Paul's pointing back to this moment in Timothy's life where he goes, I know you've got a gift. I was there. God did something and put something in your life. We were all around you laying hands on you. We all knew it was God. And he said, but don't neglect it, Timothy. Speaking to his kid, right? You don't even get, you're not using it because you don't really believe you got it, but you've got it. So you got to use it. Don't neglect it. Do you know what's amazing? Almost everything the Holy Spirit does, he does through people submitted to him. We often like to think of God sort of acting unilaterally. He just kind of does stuff and drops out of the sky. But if you look back on your life, you'll notice that like the vast majority of things that God did in your life, he did through other people. Now, it's perfectly right and normal for those people to fade into the background, because it was God working through them, so it's fine. Most of us, we talk about how Jesus saved us and God saved us, and you know, there was a person in there somewhere who shared the gospel with you, who prayed with you, who discipled you, and they rightly fade into the background because you've been brought into a relationship with God, but the way he chooses to move and to use people, or the way he chooses to move is by using people. Now I feel what you always feel, Pastor. I don't have enough time. So I'm going to move fast. There are different gifts. And this is where I want to get a little bit more specific so that we can kind of have an idea of what's going on. In 1 Peter,
he goes on, he says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. And then he says, whoever speaks, which is interesting because normally we don't call speaking all by itself a gift. I think he's kind of categorizing a bunch of gifts. But he says, whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're speaking for God, you better be saying God's words. Right? He's just saying, look, whether it's teaching, preaching, exhorting, prophesying, whatever you're doing, you got to speak God's words. And then he says, whoever serves, let him serve with the strength that God supplies. And I kind of have this idea, and I'm not going to die on this hill, but I kind of have this idea that he's comparing public gifts and kind of private gifts. You know, some gifts, nobody really sees them. You use them, and you use them well, and people are blessed, but there's not a lot of notoriety that comes with it. And then there's other gifts that kind of put you front and center. And I kind of have this idea that what Peter's doing, he says, look, whether you're front and center or whether you're behind the scenes, use your gift and let God be right in the middle of it, and it's going to be a blessing. That's being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to work all this in here. Romans 12, don't go there, but Romans 12 has one of these lists of gifts. And one thing that's really fascinating about that list to me is that most of the things in that list are commands that God gives us, and we're all supposed to do all of these things, like serving. And yet he calls that a gift. Contributing or giving. And yet, he calls that a gift. And here's what I think he means. So, we're all supposed to be generous people, right? This is a good time of year to think about that, too. Don't let all your generosity be swallowed up in buying plastic stuff for your kids. And God commands us all, and even to be radically generous. Amen? Like, to go above and beyond. He talks about the Macedonian church. He said they gave out of their poverty. Right. Imagine that. They have nothing. And he says, and they're putting y'all to shame with the way they're giving. They got nothing. See, we're called to that. And yet, the gift of contributing, as it says, or giving or generosity, means that God has poured his grace onto certain people in a special way. Even though we're all called to that, there are certain people who what happens is they see a need and they go, oh, I can meet that. And they will impoverish themselves to meet that need. And you know what's amazing about God? You think he's going to leave those people impoverished who are willing to give sacrificially? God just keeps pouring in. You can't outgive God. Amen? Other things like serving. Is anyone exempt from the command to serve? No, we're all called to serve. But some people have an extra measure of grace to serve. You guys ever met someone like that? Yeah. Not only do they not want to be in the spotlight, are they not seeking that, they usually hate it if you call them out or point them out. These are people who will work tirelessly behind the scenes to meet every need. They see every little need that you didn't even see, that you didn't even know it needed to be done, and it got done without you ever knowing it, because they just have that grace. And we could go down each gift, but I only have 35 seconds. So we can't. But the truth is, we all have a gift, but it's up to us to discover and then to develop that gift. Truth is, your gift defines your place in the body of Christ. When you get to know what your gift is, you know where you're supposed to go in the body. And you know what? It'll make Pastor Jerome so happy. And it'll make you happy too. The reality is you're going to discover your gifts in the context of the body, not in the quiet of your prayer closet, most likely. God may talk to you about stuff, but your gift is for the body, so it would be weird if God was taking you away from the body to tell you what your gift is. Probably what's going to happen is you just start serving. And as you're serving, and as you're praying, and as you're worshiping alongside other believers, certain things are going to kind of rise to the surface. God's going to move on you and talk to you in very specific ways. You're going to be drawn towards specific ministries. The way, the two kind of things I like to point out to say this is what, how you really define it is fulfillment and fruit. When you're really walking in your gift, you're going to have a high level of fulfillment. And what I mean is you're going to, when you do that thing that God created you for, you're going to feel so full of God. You're going to feel so close to God. You're like, I could turn around and do that for another 8 hours. I don't even care. You just, it's like the best thing you've ever done in your life. But even more than that, you're going to see fruit coming out of it. People's lives are going to be touched in a way. And you could have done 100 other things in your life, and then you hit on this one and like, man, that really worked. I really wanted to be a blessing for so many other ways, and now I just do this, and this was easy. You're walking in your gift. It's not this grueling. It doesn't mean there's no work to it ever. But it's not usually this grueling, difficult, oh, I don't want to do that. When you're moving in your gift, it's you don't want to do anything else. There's nothing else you'd rather do than that thing, and it blesses people more than anything else you do. So when you find that, why would you not do it all the time? And yet sometimes we neglect our gift. We get busy. Well, I wish I had more time, but I just want to leave you with this one idea. Everybody turn back to that 1 Peter passage. First Peter 4. I'm just going to read it again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And then listen to this. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Yes, when you use your gift, there's going to be a lot of personal fulfillment. You're going to feel awesome. Yes, when you use your gift, other people are going to be blessed. But ultimately, when you use your gift, God gets glory. That is the main thing. This is what we want. When we use our gift, what we want is just what I said earlier, that people bow their head and they start to worship and you just fade into the darkness. Yeah. You use your gift and it brings people so close to God that they just lift their hands and they start worshiping and forget you're there. Yeah. Praise God. If that's what happens, that's what we want. Yeah. When you use your gift, church, and you have one, right?
Yep.
You're all convinced of that.
Yeah.
I think some of you are. But when you use your gift, you build up and strengthen the body of Christ. You give wings to the gospel so that people can hear and know that Jesus died for their sins. And God up in heaven gets glory. So how important do you think it is that we use our gift? It's huge. And part of the way we just got to start learning this, and I want to challenge you, a great kind of laboratory, if you want to put it that way, to practice your gifts is your life group.
Sure.
And I'll say to all you life group leaders, give some time in your life groups just waiting on God. A great way to pray is just to say, God, who do you want to bless today? Who in this room really needs a word from you, needs a prayer?
Amen.
And you just wait for a few minutes. It's amazing when you actually listen. God's usually pretty eager to say something. So I just want to encourage you, let's become people. When you get together with other believers, why don't you just take a little time, a few minutes, and pray and just listen, see if God has something he wants to say. In our prayer meetings over here on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays, guys, let's wait on the Lord and see what he has to say. Because he might just want to use us in our gifts to be a blessing to other people, to bring himself glory. We need, guys, we need this. We need the gifts of the Spirit. I know there's so much more that could be said. That's a different number than I was expecting to see. Guys, we need this. The church needs you to discover your gift and to develop your gifts. Time to unwrap our gifts, guys. It's Christmas morning. Let's just go ahead and start unwrapping. Figure out what's in all those presents, what God has given to us, and then start using it to encourage one another, to serve one another, to glorify the name of Jesus. Amen? Father, we just thank you. Let's stand up, everybody. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. You are worthy of it all. And no one else is worthy of it, God. Not to us. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. God, we just know that you've done something in our lives that we can't even put words to. It's so incredible. You've forgiven every one of our sins. You've given us a seat at the table. God, you made us part of your family. You've given us eternal life. You put the Holy Spirit inside of us and he came bearing gifts, Lord, and you want to use us. God, you want to use me. Me, God, you want to use me to be a blessing to others. You want to use me to strengthen and encourage. God, now thank you that these gifts that you've put in us, they're gifts of grace, which means I do nothing to earn them. I can do nothing to give payment for them. I just receive what you've done so freely in me. God, we want to be a blessing to others. God, we want to see you do the impossible through my hands, through my mouth. God, we want to see you work in ways that we've never seen before, God. And it's time, God, for your church to rise up in the power that you've given to us. To not be afraid, to not be timid, to not be ashamed of who you are or what you've done in us, but God, that we would boldly go and use the gifts that you've given us to be a blessing to others. God, I just pray that as we begin to pray, God, as we go into this next season of whatever you have in store for your church, God, that this would be a defining element, God, that we begin to discover our gifts and grow in them and mature in them. And so that Sunday mornings are not just about us coming and watching a few people use their gifts, but the whole body of Christ is using their gifts. God, I pray for services where nobody has to stand up and do anything because your Spirit is just breaking out around everybody else. That's your body. Each one has a lesson, a hymn, a revelation, a tongue, a prophecy, a prayer, whatever, God, that we would just come and it would be each one using their gifts. So, God, we thank you. God, we know this is your desire, God. We just surrender our lives, Lord. Help us to have that single focus, one thing that our life is about. God, we know, just like you said to Mary, said to Martha, you're worried about a lot of things, Martha. But Mary has chosen the one thing that's needed, and it will never be taken from her. And so, God, I pray that we would be consumed with that one thing that is necessary that will never be taken from us. And that's that we would just gaze on you, Lord God. Just look in your face. Be transformed by your glory, God. and do whatever it is you said. God, our whole mission on earth is to be filled up and then pour out, and then filled up and then pour out, and then filled up and then pour it out. So we come into your presence, we pray, we worship, we gather together so you can fill us up so that we can go pour ourselves out. And when we're empty again, we just come to be filled up again. And that would be the whole purpose of our life. God, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the praise. You are worthy of it all, Lord Jesus. Amen.